The Badlands. What are the Badlands? Explain those Badlands. That's a hell of a name.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to The Brief. Today is Monday, April 29th, 2024. Patrick is off this morning. So you're stuck with me today, and I'm hoping that my technology will cooperate because it seems a little bit maybe glitchy. I'm hoping that's not the case. Let's get to our first sponsor this morning. Oh, and by the way, happy birthday, Joanne. I had to close my window with the chat, but I did see that it's your birthday. Happy birthday. I hope you have an absolutely awesome day. I can see the chat. So I just can't respond. I can see you guys chatting. I just can't respond to it. I might actually pull up the chat over here so that it's less problematic. We will get to our first sponsor here in just one second. There we go. Got the chat up there. In fact, let's do that now. We're going to talk about gold. Are you concerned about the $6 trillion at stake in the upcoming 2024 election? The Wall Street Journal has reported that a critical issue, the looming decision on extending tax cuts scheduled to expire after 2025. Republicans advocate for extending Trump's tax cuts while the Democrats lean toward letting them expire and increasing taxes on top earners and corporations, potentially creating a massive $6 trillion gap. But fear not. There's a way to protect yourself from this impending threat. Join the thousands of hardworking Americans who are taking proactive steps to safeguard their savings. Visit BadlandsGold.com to claim your free 2024 gold and silver kit and fortify everything you've worked for. You may even qualify for up to 10% back in bonus silver, but hurry, supplies are limited. Don't leave your financial future to chance. Act now to diversify and shield your savings against the uncertainties ahead. Get your free 2024 gold and silver kit today at BadlandsGold.com and take control of your financial destiny. All right. Let's get into the Badlands news brief brought to you by Badlands on BadlandsSubstack.com. If I can get this to load. This might be asking too much of my system at the moment. All right. There we go. All right. And as I said, Burning Bright puts this together Monday through Friday. Weekdays, it's out by, it's like 5 o'clock my time, 7 o'clock Eastern. Sorosian Strings, K. Fabian Comms, and the Woke House. George Soros is paying student radicals who are fueling nationwide explosion of Israel-hating protests. Yep. We all see it. It's happening here in Denver as well. George Soros and his hard left acolytes are paying agitators who are fueling the explosion of radical anti-Israel protests at colleges across the country. The protest began when students took over Columbia University's Morningside Heights campus last week, have mushroomed nationwide. Copycat tent cities have been set up at colleges, including Harvard, Yale, Berkeley in California, and the Ohio State University and Emory in Georgia. All of them, we don't even get a shout out. I guess that's because there's only like 14 of them in Denver. All of them organized by branches of the Soros-funded Students for Justice in Palestine. And at some students have clashed with police. Certainly they did at Denver. The SJP parent organization has been funded by a network of nonprofits, ultimately funded by, among others, Soros, the billionaire left-wing investor, New York Post. Who wrote this take? Okay, we got a ghost of base Patrick Henry take. I read a response of a Jewish professor. I think he was a Columbia professor yesterday. I can't remember his name, but he was talking about how he is for peace. He is for ceasefire. He doesn't want any more innocents to die. But what the Students for Justice in Palestine are asking for is an eradication of the Jews. From the river to the sea, and so it was, you know, kind of his internal struggle, I guess, about being a super woke, professor, you know, good little comrade, and being like, but hey, wait a second, I'm Jewish and I don't think that, I should be eradicated. So, interesting, stuff. I'm just checking the chat, see if you guys are doing okay. You seem to be doing fine. Our take It's become increasingly clear that the most insufferable caricatures in the modern zeitgeist are all paid operatives who are deployed to generate angst and animosity. These operatives all seem to have the unique ability to reach people who are otherwise indifferent on a particular subject and inspire a contempt towards whichever political position is best suited for the moment. These operations also have the net effect of inspiring useful idiots to jump in and support the operation. I don't think that's an accident. The MO of these schemers is to control both sides of a conflict, whether it be an international war or a domestic political issue, so that they can control how the public perceives each side, so that they can properly antagonize those individuals who adopt a position on one side of the paradigm. Once they have you on one specific side, they can feed you information to stoke your confirmation bias. I know the common parlance when analyzing these totalitarians is to purport that they want us all to believe the same thing, and to a large extent that is very true, but opposition will always be a necessary element of their operation because it gives the indoctrinated a target. Great point. Without that target, the masses may start noticing things. So distraction and misdirection are both big parts of the psyops, meaning controlled opposition will always be a real factor. I don't disagree with any of that. I mentioned the Denver protests, and I've seen, you know, the Columbia ones. Columbia students went down to NYU and had no idea what they were protesting for. We talked about that last week on the brief, but looking at the Denver protests, they've set up, you know, a little tent city on the Auroria campus. And they have, I don't know, a couple hundred people, it looks like. I think it started out, you know, as like a couple dozen, and it's grown to a couple hundred people. They've set up tents. They've got their own little, their own little intifada, I think they claimed that it was. And it's quite small for a, you know, an occupied protest. It's no Chaz, we'll put it that way. But Mayor Johnston said, no, you guys can't have tents. We have a citywide camping ban. You can't have tents. You got to get rid of the tents. And they were like, no, get out of here. And then the police left. So, yeah. Interesting stuff. All right. Barr, who said Trump shouldn't be near Oval Office, says he will vote for him in 2024. Former Attorney General Bill Barr, who previously said that Donald Trump shouldn't be near the Oval Office, told CNN's Caitlin Collins on Friday that he would vote for the former president over President Joe Biden in the 2024 election. I think that Biden is unfit for office, Barr said on The Source in a wide-ranging interview. I think Trump would do less damage than Biden, and I think all this stuff about a threat to democracy, I think the real threat to democracy is the progressive movement and the Biden administration. Collins pressed Barr, who has been highly critical of his former boss, just to be clear, you're voting, and I can't do her voice. I also can't make my face do that chewing your own face thing that happens when she talks. Just to be clear, you're voting for someone who you believe tried to subvert the peaceful transfer of power. That can't even achieve his own policies. That lied about the election, even after his attorney general told him that the election wasn't stolen. You're going to vote for someone who is facing 88 criminal counts. Barr began, look, the 88 criminal counts, a lot of those are, even if 10 of them are accurate, Collins interjected. The answer is yes, Barr countered. I'm supporting the Republican ticket. Can we just talk for a second about, like, who tried to subvert the peaceful transfer of power? Oh, so Obama and Russiagate. Who can't even achieve his own policies. Wait just a gosh darn minute. President Trump did almost everything that he campaigned on, and the only things he didn't accomplish were the things that he was so blocked by the uniparty, by the Republican and Republicans and Democrats, full bipartisan opposition. But, you know, this is like the whole, he didn't build the wall, did he? $5 billion. $5 billion that wall would have cost us. He tried every way and every angle. You people called him a dictator and said, how dare you talk about these beautiful refugees and suggest that there might be something nefarious going on with the open border? How dare you? No, we're not going to give you $5 billion to build a wall. We're going to, you know, send it to Ukraine times 1,000. So save it, Collins. Trash journalism over at CNN. Luckily, nobody's watching anymore. They have CNN consistently on the ratings, live plus same day times 1,000, because that's the metric. Live plus live viewers plus same day viewers times 1,000. CNN fails to hit 1 million. And we could talk about the validity of the times 1,000 amplification metric. We could talk about that all day long. Our take. Ron fought the man and then endorsed him. Vivek fought the man, then endorsed him. Barr worked for the man, fought the man, and then endorsed him. For those of you who've been unable to accept the possibility that many of the loudest players on the game board, the ones the MSM leap at the chance to use against Trump, ostensibly from within his own movement, are playing roles, this is Storytelling 101. There's a reason kayfabe and false feuds are some of the most simple and effective narrative deployments in the info war. Bad guys use kayfabe to help codify the controlled opposition dynamic, pitting right against left, Republican against Democrat, man against woman, black against white, because it appeals to human binary and tribal thinking. Good guys use kayfabe because the narrative setters on the opposition side are cutting off from their former power structure and are spinning in a void of indecision. Bicameral thinking avails us well when you know the way broadly, burning bright. All right. Inside the failed White House coup to oust Biden, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre. Top aides to President Biden secretly hatched a plan this past fall to replace White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre by recruiting outside allies to nudge her out the door, the Post has learned. This is the New York Post, yeah. Jean-Pierre, who made history in May 2022 by becoming the first Black and first openly gay person to hold the position, had developed the exasperating habit of reading canned answers directly from a binder to reporters at her regular briefings, offering what her supervisors viewed as a less than compelling pitch for the 81-year-old Biden as he readied his reelection campaign. De facto White House communications chief Anita Dunn, 66, the wife of Biden personal attorney Bob Bauer, told colleagues she had decided to call in prominent Democrats to explain to Jean-Pierre, who is 49, that the time was ripe to move on, sources told the Post. New York Post, I never would have thought that Karine Jean-Pierre was younger than me or older than me. I thought she was younger than me. She looks great. She, you know, set aside the we've been very clear and not being able to answer a question or get a statement out, you know, coherently. She looks good. She looks good for almost 50. Our take. From an official quoted in this New York Post piece, Karine is very strong and doing a very good job in the briefing room. Sure, why not? The initial reaction to this New York Post piece is to jump on the DEI outcomes train, and the majority of the internet is marching in lockstep with that storyline, yawns and comfy. I'm focused on the part where she can't be fired. KJP is a disaster for Biden, so much so that she is constantly joined by NatSec officials to help her through the briefing. According to the piece, she won't put in the work to become capable, and it's created many headaches for the barrier-breaking press secretary. Is being incompetent KJP's job description? I'm not well-versed enough in devolution to know if this is a proof, but Anita Dunn's hands being tied on the White House comms team, unable to influence critical talent decisions, is at a minimum notable. They can't impeach Biden. They can't replace Biden. They can't even replace KJP. This news is breaking as the legacy media is reporting that the Biden administration has kicked off their transition team. The best is yet to come. All right. Let's see. Let's hit our next. I recorded a show with Alpha last night. It'll air in the next day or so. But he introduces this ad as America's favorite mustache. And I kind of love that. I will be right back.
I'm excited to announce we're having a huge MyPillow spring sale. And here's a few examples. Buy one of our MyPillow 2.0s, you get another MyPillow 2.0 absolutely free. Made with cooling technology, the best pillow ever just got even better. And this just in, 9 brand new colors and styles of our Percale bed sheets. They're made with the finest long staple cotton, and now you can save 50% or more. That's as low as $24.98. And for the first time this year, I'm bringing you our My Slippers and Sandals for as low as $25 a pair. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to get your MyPillow 2.0s. Buy one, get one free. Percale sheets as low as $24.98. My Slippers and Sandals as low as $25 a pair. And for a limited time, when you order $75 or more, your entire order ships absolutely free.
All right, best night's sleep in the whole wide world. Visit MyPillow.com. Use promo code BADLANDS to save a bundle. Get in there, get your pillows, get your towels, sheets, duvet covers. The mattress topper is still my absolute favorite MyPillow product, and it has revolutionized my sleep. Absolutely love it, so check it out. Salty says, did you just say the mess is yet to come? It's possible. Also, not untrue. Because it's always darkest before the dawn. And there are so many different domains, theaters of information warfare, if you will, that are messy and going to probably get more messy, like college campuses, for example. China warns U.S. of downward spiral as Antony Blinken meets with Xi Jinping. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Chinese President Xi Jinping in Beijing on Friday as he wrapped up a three-day visit to China, dominated by contentious issues and warnings from his hosts of another downward spiral in relations. The two men met Friday afternoon, local time, at the Great Hall of the People, an ornate and cavernous building next to Tiananmen Square. Xi noted that this year is the 45th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between the United States and China, and said the two countries should be partners rather than adversaries. The world is big enough to accommodate the simultaneous development and prosperity of both China and the United States, he said, according to a Chinese foreign ministry readout. And the United States According to a Chinese foreign ministry readout, adding that U.S.-China relations will stabilize once the U.S. takes a positive and constructive view of China's development. Speaking to reporters after the meeting, Blinken said the U.S. did not aim to hold back China's development or decouple the world's two largest economies. We want China's economy to grow, he said, but the way China grows matters. NBC News. Like, I'm no fan of China. I mean, the Chinese people are amazing, especially the ones who have escaped from all the communism. But the CCP, no fan. But who does Antony Blinken think he is? The way China grows matters. No, I think that's true. I think the way China grows does matter. I think the Palestinian protests, why aren't we protesting the treatment of the Uyghur Muslims? Who are awake, are, you know, kept alive while they're having their organs harvested for prominent officials because their bodies are so healthy because of how they treat their body. It's insanity that these, you know, U.S. hyper-privileged morons don't see what puppets they are for the regime. But, you know, it is an election year and we're heading into summer, which means it's Chaz season. And I'm here for it. If the tiny little encampment in Denver is any indication, it's going to be a fun summer, guys. Ukrainian drone strikes target Russian oil refineries again, despite White House pleas. Just days after the Biden administration signed a new military aid package worth billions of dollars to Ukraine, Kyiv launched a series of suicide drone attacks on Russian oil refineries. That's interesting. Didn't Iran just do that? Biden's top officials have pleaded with Kyiv to stop attacks on Russia's energy infrastructure because of the fears that turmoil in crude markets would send pump prices in the U.S. higher ahead of the presidential elections in November. So, pause. Biden's top officials have pleaded with Ukraine to stop attacking Russia, particularly the energy infrastructure, in the middle of the war we keep being told we have to fund because they're going to lose at any moment. Stop hitting them because that might hurt Joe Biden's electoral chances. This is a totally real war, guys. Our region is again under attack by Ukrainian UAVs. Smolensk Governor Valisi Anokhin wrote in a post on Telegram on Wednesday, kamikaze drones damaged oil facilities in Western Russia. Another drone attack hit the Lipetsk region further south, which is home to steel production plants and pharmaceutical sites, Governor Igor Artamonov said. The Kyiv criminal regime tried to hit infrastructure in Lipetsk industrial zone, Artamonov said. The Moscow Times pointed out a source in the Ukrainian defense sector confirmed to AFP on Wednesday that drones in the U.S. in the service of the Secret Service of Ukraine, SBU, had carried out the attacks. The source made no mention of the attack on Lipetsk, but claimed two oil depots were destroyed in the Smolensk region. Rosneft lost two storage and pumping bases for fuels and lubricants in the towns of Yartsevo and Rozdorovo. I'm so sorry if somebody is Russian in here and I'm totally butchering your language and offending you. Please forgive me. Usually that's Patrick's job. The source said, referring to the Russian state-controlled energy giant Zero Hedge. That was a rough read. Way too many Russian names. All right. Our take. There are two things happening here. One, the weakness of Joe Biden and the American deep state is on full display as they pay billions in ransom to Ukraine and are forced to plead with them that they don't attack Russian oil refineries, which will impact global supply chains and drive up the net price. Even the lowest IQ CNN viewer, Caitlin Collins fan, understands that Biden is not in control of this situation. Two, more importantly, the Biden regime is demonstrating that it is prepared to burn every bridge and destroy whatever clout the U.S. had remaining on the world stage all over Ukraine. Why is Ukraine so important? The question demands an answer. The deep state is so blinded by their ostensible rage towards Russia and desire to protect Ukraine that they are willing to sacrifice their relationships with other world powers, such as China. This is terrible policy, self-destructive. The question demands an answer. Why is Ukraine so important? Well, there's a lot of money laundering that happens there. There are biolabs. Ukraine is the piece of land that kind of borders NATO countries from Russia, kind of a buffer zone. And, you know, of course, the West has turned that into a NATO proxy state, which is part of why Russia is so pissed. But yeah, I think it's probably the money laundering thing. They have a lot of secrets that they don't want coming out of Ukraine. And we know that because of their response to President Trump's phone call with Volodymyr Zelensky back, you know, shortly after he assumed the presidency in 2017. They lost their damn mind because they don't want those secrets coming out. And, you know, sure enough, some of them already have. We've seen the son of a bitch speech, the $1 billion in aid and all of those things. And so, there we go. You know, it's corruption. It is, I feel, you know, just like in any of these conflicts, whether we're talking about China and Taiwan or Israel and Palestine or Russia and Ukraine or any of the other, wars they're going to spin up this year, 'cause they just can't help themselves. I think that the innocents are the people that I stand with. I stand with the people of those nations who are being used as pawns by a global cabal that loves war. War is very profitable. You can bankrupt all of your citizens with war. You can kill a lot of people too. And we know that they love their global population reduction goals. We just do a really good job with vaccines, guys. We can drop the population by a couple billion. It's going to be awesome. And then if the vaccine don't work, you know, global war is usually good for killing off a few million people. So see what happens. Russian court orders seizure of $440 million from JP Morgan. My nose is so itchy this morning. A Russian court has ordered the seizure of JP Morgan Chase funds totaling $439.5 million a week. A week after Kremlin-run lender VTB launched legal action against the largest U.S. bank to recoup money stuck under Washington sanctions regime. The move highlights some of the fallout Western companies are feeling from the punitive measures against Moscow. It is also further evidence of the difficulties Western lenders are encountering when trying to follow through with pledges to close their Russia operations since Moscow's full-scale invasions of Ukraine in February 2022. The seizure order published in the Russian court register on Wednesday targets funds in JP Morgan's accounts and shares in its Russian subsidiaries. According to the ruling issued by the arbitration court in St. Petersburg, the assets have been frozen by authorities in the wake of the Western sanctions. The dispute centers on $439 million in funds that VTB held in a JP Morgan account in the U.S. When Washington imposed sanctions on the Kremlin-run bank, JP Morgan had to move the funds to a separate escrow account under the U.S. sanctions regime. Neither VTB nor JP Morgan can access the funds. Financial Times. That is, until Joe and Hunter Biden decide to release them, as in the case of Iran. Late last year, I think that was. Oh yeah, $6 billion. Because they're super awesome people and they would never, you know, do anything wrong. So let's unfreeze $6 billion in funds. And then, oh, what do you know? Suicide drones. Some people will never learn. Our take. Many people in this community are familiar with Executive Order 13818. For those who aren't, it's an EO that Trump signed in December 2017 that gives the president the authority to seize the property of individuals or companies who are involved in serious human trafficking operations. JP Morgan has already been revealed to somehow be involved in the Jeffrey Epstein Island, with former executive Joe Staley being accused of being tied to child trafficking crimes. The only narrative better than the U.S. government seizing JP assets is the Russian government seizing JP Morgan assets. I don't know. The U.S. seizing JP Morgan assets might make me a little happier than the Russians doing it. We all know these bankers are criminals and are likely involved in some really dark stuff. As for the tit for tat with the US/West, yeah, I think the East is going to start throwing its weight around as this multipolar world begins to emerge. Ghost of base Patrick Henry. Yeah, I think he's right. So Jamie Dimon is so interesting. You know, the head of JP Morgan Chase, he was the banker that came out and talked about how people need to stop being such assholes to Trump supporters, stop dehumanizing MAGA and Trump supporters because it's really getting out of hand. That was weird. He's also the guy, by the way, who said, posted, I really don't like, this was at, what was it? It was a Bloomberg summit, I think, a couple years ago that he said this. I think that people that short banks and then post about it on social media, that should be a crime. I think that should be criminally investigated. And then like a month later, the Department of Justice said that they were going to start investigating people who were who were shorting banks and making posts about it on social media. He has a ton of power. And then, as Ghost mentions, there was the whole case down in the Bahamas and Panama, maybe, if I'm remembering correctly. I haven't followed this story in so long. But yeah, there was a whole bunch of stuff that linked JP Morgan and their management of Jeffrey Epstein and Jeffrey Epstein Associates and their finances became a big deal. It was not the U.S. jurisdiction that brought that case against JP Morgan executives, former JP Morgan executives. It was another country, because in the U.S., we protect them, which is insanity. Women seeking vampire facial youth treatment salon contracted HIV at New Mexico beauty salon. I'm sorry for laughing. Of course they did. And I really hate this procedure. I've never had it done, but I have been seeing it for years, and I think it's horrifying. Four women contracted HIV after receiving a vampire facial at a beauty salon and spa in New Mexico, the CDC announced. A vampire facial is a cosmetic procedure that uses the patient's own blood to improve facial skin tone and texture. The CDC said this is the first known instance of the virus being transmitted through cosmetic injection services, according to its report released on Thursday. The agency launched an investigation into VIP beauty salon and spa in Albuquerque after multiple women tested positive for HIV, which was linked back to them receiving vampire facials at the establishment. Investigators found unwrapped needles and unlabeled syringes scattered throughout the spa, and it's believed that patients were infected with HIV via the spa sharing needles. And certainly this is not the first case that we know of HIV being transmitted through the sharing of needles. We're just going to pretend like this is somehow different because it's at a spa. Three women contracted HIV from the spa in 2018, while a fourth woman became infected with the virus in 2019, which resulted in a man contracting HIV after he had sex with her, according to the report. The post-millennial. Denise Ann, too, but wasn't the prosecutor fired for looking into Epstein's involvement in JP Morgan? Which prosecutor we're going to have to find out, because I don't know for sure. But certainly we know that prosecutors get fired for looking into the crimes of the regime all the time. So maybe our take. I remember years ago when I first learned about vampire facials, being horrified at the entire concept. I hate needles and blood makes me woozy, so this process was less appealing to me than back alley Botox. Vanity is a seductive bitch, and women will entertain the ridiculous in pursuit of her. Apparently, they'll even risk AIDS. Yikes. To be fair, I don't think these 60-plus salon-goers who may be impacted consented to being injected with HIV, but I equally doubt they checked the salon's references or vetted its procedural standards. For example, unsanitary syringes lying around would have been a red flag, and according to the CDC, there were used needles all over the place. If you're looking for a reputable place to have a vampire facial done, first ask yourself why. Seriously, why do you want to jam a bunch of needles into your face in pursuit of vanity? If you're still intent, after such self-reflection, research reputable providers and insist upon a sterile set of needles. If that fails and you still get AIDS, do not take AZT. That's damn near worse for you than AIDS. For what it's worth, I think you're stunning without the Luciferian beauty ritual. All right, and that gets us into bonus items. And that is actually kind of a great segue because our next sponsor is Epic Minerals, and I'll play the ad in a second just in case anybody forgot that manganese can make you kill your mama. I will remind you in just 1 minute. But I want to talk about the body butter and the soaps too, because the Epic Minerals body butter is, I mean, I don't know if I can say this, lightning may strike There may be thunderclaps, but I am actually kind of digging it more as a facial lotion than Angel Paste. And I've been using Angel Paste for over a year as my primary and really only face cream. And I started, you know, Patrick, I've been using the body butter on my hands and, you know, body. And Patrick told me to try it on my face, and I have been for the past few days. And holy cow, it's so dry here. So this, it probably isn't going to work for everyone, right? It's not going to be the face moisturizer for everybody. But if you live in a dry climate, game changing. And that's after Angel Paste. Are we okay? Because I still love Angel Paste. And my husband would like slaughter me if he heard me say a bad word about Angel Paste. He loves it so much. But okay, so that's the body butter. And then we have the soaps. They're gorgeous. So these artisan soaps, they come wrapped in tissue paper with a beautiful sticker with, you know, they're in gift boxes and really great gift. And they smell amazing. Of course, they're soap and they work. You get clean by them, but they're beautiful. They smell great and would make an absolutely great gift. With Mother's Day coming up, I think the artisan soaps, the body butter, there's some other serums and things coming out soon from Epic Minerals would make great gifts. I know as a mom, I would love to get into it. And then of course with Epic Minerals, we have the zeolite. And let's check out this ad.
He said something that really hit home about this phenomena of chemtrails.
Manganese will make you kill your mama. How much manganese are you spraying in my neighborhood at night while I'm asleep?
Military and some commercial jets have been fitted with huge barrels of at least 49 different kinds of documented chemical poisons. Barium is toxic to all mammals. Aluminum is known to diminish kidney function and destroy brain cells and cognitive function. A problem, a serious problem.
Patent number 5003186 describes cooling the earth with metal oxides sprayed into the stratosphere.
And I thought, well, geez, this is what I do for a living. I was finding tons and tons of large quantities of aluminum, barium, strontium in the forms of oxides and sulfates. Instead of protecting the people, we are poisoning the people.
Detox and prevent heavy metal poisoning. www.epicminerals.net. Promo code Badlands.
All right. So check out epicminerals.net. Use promo code Badlands. And let's get into these bonus items. Worst in 70 years, Biden approval rating. Absolutely dismal. Maybe that's because he's intentionally trying to destroy the country. All right. EC was here. Says somebody watched Hellraiser and then decided to make it a salon treatment. Yeah, I mean, pretty much. So you're jamming all these little needles all over your face for people who don't know what that procedure is. And Artsy Jones, like, I don't think that cosmetic procedures are all bad, but you need a reputable place. Agreed. I'm not talking about cosmetic procedures broadly and generally. I am talking specifically about the vampire facial where you jab. It's basically like you're tattooing your whole face, but without ink. You jab little tiny needles all over your face, which makes your face bleed, and then they do stuff with your blood. I don't like it. All right. President Joe Biden has the worst job approval rating since Eisenhower during his recently completed 13th quarter in office, according to a new poll by Gallup. While Biden clocks in at 38.7%, the previous low was set by George H.W. Bush at 41.8% in 1992. Holy crap. Biden is less popular than 1992 George H.W. Bush. That is saying something. Barack Obama, Donald Trump and Barack Obama averaged 46.8% and 45.9% respectively during the same point in their presidencies. Prior to Bush, Jimmy Carter is the only other president with a sub 50% average in his 13th quarter. New record. Biden's setting records. Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, and George W. Bush averaged between 51 and 55% approval in their 13th quarter, While Dwight Eisenhower had the highest average for a president during his 13th month at 73.2. What's more, Biden's most recent approval rating places him 277th out of 314 presidential quarters in Gallup history, dating back to 1945, placing him in the bottom 12% of all presidential quarters. Biden's score is technically the lowest of his presidency, which has been dragging in the low 40s range since Q4 of his term, zero hedge. And low 40s, I think even 38 is inflated. There's no way 40% of likely U.S. voters approve of Biden. There's no way. There's maybe 20% of radical insane people, but not 40. Denise Antu, the Virgin Islands prosecutor, was filed after filing charges against J.P. Morgan for ties to Epstein. Thank you for sharing that. I am going to check that out after the show. And then somebody else corrected me that it is the Falun Gong, not the Uyghur Muslims, who have their healthy, you know, who are awake and alive while they have their organs harvested. Yeah. There's a lot of human rights violations that go on in there. You are correct, I think. Thank you for the correction. What else do we got from you guys before we go on? We're ahead of schedule, as per usual. Oh my gosh, this next story, you guys. This next story is really something. Biden administration shelves plan to ban menthol cigarettes because it's not about your health. The Biden administration is reversing course on its plan to ban menthol cigarettes after the White House weighed the potential public health benefits of banning minty smokes against the political risk of angering some Black voters in an election year. How is that not racist? How is it not racist? So there are loads of white people that smoke menthol cigarettes, especially a lot of like boomer-aged ladies smoke menthol cigarettes. My mother-in-law was one of them. I think she quit, but for a long time, Marlboro Menthol Light 100s. And I'm sure that race is the motivating factor for Biden in this. I just think that's really racist. And I think that the media writing a lead paragraph, that lead paragraph, without a hint of... you know, hey, maybe we shouldn't. Anyway, I think they're so racist. The administration said Friday that it is delaying a decision on whether to impose a ban, contending that it needs more time to consult with the outside groups on the matter. There is no timeline for the administration to revisit the decision as President Trump, Biden competes with former President Donald Trump for votes in November. Menthols account for more than a third of all cigarettes sold in the U.S. each year and are predominantly used by Black and Hispanic smokers. Some 81% of Black smokers used menthol in 2020, compared with 30% of white smokers and 51% of Hispanic smokers, according to Wall Street Journal analysis of data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, which we can totally trust is a true and reliable source. Some Black community leaders had fought the measure, saying a ban would expand the illicit market for cigarettes and lead police to racially profile Black smokers. Oh my God, can you imagine the enforcement? The American Civil Liberties Union and some members of the Congressional Black Caucus expressed similar concerns. The proposed ban has generated much feedback from the civil rights and criminal justice movements, said Xavier Becerra, Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. It's clear that there are still more conversations to have, then that will take significantly more time, he said in a statement. Wall Street Journal. No. I think it's so, I just think it's so wrong. Naturally, Nikki says, I smoke menthols. I'm Irish, German, and Dutch. I'm about as white as you can get. Tattooed teacher, they are just reaching for stuff under their control and all they have are menthols. Apparently they don't have menthols under their control any longer. Let's see. Denise Ann, we can't buy unpasteurized milk at the grocery store, but people can poison themselves and others with cigarettes. Yep. But like, why just ban the menthol ones? And it's like, oh, well, you know, minty flavors are targeted at kids. Really? Are they? Why not ban all the cigarettes if it's about health? It's not about health. It's absolutely about control. But why they were planning to do that in election year and then the optics of shelving the plan is totally ridicule worthy. And I will do my part to ridicule them. All right. It's really frustrating to not have the chat on screen because I know I'm missing so much. Putin didn't directly order Alexei Navalny's February death, U.S. spy agencies find. This story's crazy. You guys remember, right? You remember the all-out hysteria after Navalny died in prison. Allegedly, I think it was a heart attack. And it was Putin. Putin did it. Putin this, Putin that. Apparently not. According to the U.S. intel community. Alexei Navalny's February death in an Arctic penal colony prompted a new wave of sanctions targeting Russia's economy, upending delicate negotiations to exchange prisoners between Russia and the West, and left Russia's limited opposition in disarray. Russian President Vladimir Putin might not have planned for it to happen when it did. U.S. intelligence agencies have determined that Putin likely didn't order Navalny to be killed at the notoriously brutal prison camp in February, people familiar with the matter said, a finding that deepens the mystery about the circumstances of his death. The assessment doesn't dispute Putin's culpability for Navalny's death, but rather finds he probably didn't order it at that moment. The finding is broadly accepted within the intelligence community and shared by several agencies, including the Central Intelligence Agency, the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, and the State Department's Intelligence Unit, the people said. Wall Street Journal. So this, like, why? One, why would they release this finding? Right? We're in a death match between Putin and Zelensky, right? And we're the U.S. government is all on Zelensky's side, right? All in team piano player. But this appears to be, you know, kind of letting Putin a little off the hook for a story that they told that went around the world. And so now they're telling us about it. Now they're saying, oh, yeah, no, we probably got that wrong. That's interesting. Why? And why now? Why and why now? Those are the questions that I have about. And I don't have any answers to those questions. But I think that the timing of this is very interesting, particularly that this release of information from the intelligence community, U.S. intelligence community, comes shortly after they got all that funding. I don't know. Weird stuff. I think it's very interesting. All right, everybody, that is the show. All right. Sorry, Lulu. I'll try to be more entertaining for you next time. That's the show we have for you guys. Badlands Daily is up next. I believe it is Brian and Ghost of Bass Patrick Henry. Today, it'll be a lot of fun. I'll see you guys over in the chat. And I'll see you tomorrow on the show. Take care. Have a great week, everyone. Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget to hit the thumbs up on this video. And a special thank you to all of our advertising partners. Please remember to shift your dollars to support those businesses that support Badlands Media.